Please turn your Bibles to Mark 12. We'll be in verses 28 through 34. Mark 12. If you have ever had somebody who you love, somebody who you care about, somebody close to you pass away, if you've ever had that happen to you, you've most likely spent time reflecting on your priorities in life. If you've had somebody who you love and care for, you probably have thoughts in your head. I wish I spent less time working and was there for them more. I wish I didn't get so caught up in my phone or TV or hobbies or whatever else and was there for them, like actually there for them. I wish I didn't make all those small things such a big deal. I'm not going to do that in the future. I wish I didn't do that. I wish I didn't make that my priority. So instead, look at my kids I have now and my relationships I have now. Make them a priority in my life. You've had one of them, Steve Jobs. You might have heard of him. He created Apple. Okay, no big deal. But, you know, Steve Jobs, the Steve Jobs, when he got closer to his death, there was a biographer asking about his life. That he told us fame and wealth and prestige, all those, even Steve Jobs said, man, I wish I had in my life. Jesus talks about priorities. One of the teachers of the law comes up to him and asks Jesus a question about priorities, about what do we focus on? What's the most important thing that we can do, Jesus? So if you look at Mark 12, verse 28, this is one of the teachers. So if you remember, in the last couple weeks, we broke down that there's these religious that are coming up to Jesus, and they're trying to test him, and they're trying to make him look foolish, and they're trying to trap him in his words. A passage in Matthew that Jesus said something that they agree with. So noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, of all the commandments, which one is the most important? That's a good question, right? Jesus, out of all the things that God has told us, what is the most important commandment? The whole Old Testament, what do you got? And this is Jesus' answer, verse 29. The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these. So the teacher of the law, the scribe, which is a religious lawyer, he comes up to Jesus and says, what's the most important commandment in the Bible? You know, the whole Old Testament. And when I think about this question, Jesus' answer at a first glance, it surprises me because I would think Jesus would silly question. All of God's commands are important, right? Why are you trying to rack the commands? If God told you to do something, go do it. That would be my first impression of what is Jesus going to say. I would think he would say everything God said is good and important. Why are you trying to rank the commands? But Jesus doesn't say that. He actually gives not one, but two of the most important commands. Love God with everything you have, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. How can Jesus say this? Why does he say this? Why does he pit these two things as the most important commands in the whole Old Testament? And the answer, I think, is found in a parallel passage in Matthew, which is the same context, the same word. Jesus said that Mark does not list in Scripture. So Matthew 22, verse 40, after Jesus, gives the answer, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus says this, all the law and the prophets hang or depend on these two commandments. So the reason why these two commandments are singled out is because you can't do all the other things that God commanded us unless you love. They're all dependent on it. So this is the glue that holds all these other things together. And let me give you a few examples to hopefully put some some meat on this, okay? So these aren't Old Testament commands, but these are commands in the Bible. A few examples. One of the things that we're commanded to do as Christians is share the gospel. Go make disciples of all nations, okay? That's a command. Go make disciples. Share the gospel. Give the good news about Jesus Christ to everybody you meet. Like, that's what we're commanded to do. We can't do that unless we love God and love neighbor. Don't do it. We share somebody. We look at somebody who is helpless in their sins, and we say, here is the gospel. This will change you. This will give you new life. And when we're doing that, we're loving God because we're entering in on his mission to seek and save the lost. And we're giving our time to God in that command. And we're loving our neighbor because we're do. Believe in the gospel. Don't work for salvation. Believe in the gospel. So why God's neighbor? Or vice versa, if you don't do that, then you're really just loving yourself because you say, okay, God, I know you've given me this command. Reject me. Tells us in Matthew 5, verses 27 through 28, it's not up on the screen, I'm just going to read it. But Jesus tells his disciples, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So the command here is, you know, don't commit adultery, but more than that, don't even think about these things in your heart. Don't lust after another woman. Don't do that. And when we don't do that, when somebody lusts after another woman, you're not loving God because you're saying, God, I'm not going to find all my pleasure and satisfaction in you or the wife you've given me. I'm going to go other places. You're not loving your neighbor as yourself because you're using that person as an object instead of saying, that's a sister in Christ or if you do love them, you're not going to think about these things, lustful thoughts in your head. Do you see you could go commandment, don't lie, okay? You're not loving God or loving neighbor because you're trying to protect yourself. You're not giving. This is the glue. So Jesus says these are the most important because everything else I've commanded things. You can't do the other commandments unless you love me and love other people as yourself. So this is important. This is what you can base your life on. You're trying to make it super simple, okay? I'm trying to get all what, you know, I'm trying to obey the love God and love. Our priority in life should be to love God and love people. It's so easy to just, you know, have the American dream suck you in. We need more and more and people more. In order for us to do this, we need to answer a very important, it feels like something you can see, experience, or, you know, but it's hard to actually define it. But we need it because we, our culture, and even love is problems. And but we have to answer this because how are we going to love? So that's where we're going. Let's start with a few negatives. So what love is not. The first one, love is not just an emotion. Love is not just an emotion. We have an expression of love. I fell in love. You know, we used to be friends, but at the end, we fell in. You know, people can mean different. It's not always a bad expression. A lot of times what people mean when they say I fell in love is at a certain point they start having strong emotional connection with another person. There's a lot of emotions and feelings and, you know, maybe hormones thrown in there. All those things thrown into a pot. I fell in love at a certain point in time, all desires and affections towards that person. So imagine your teenager comes home, okay? Mom says, Mom, you know, she swings the door open. Mom, I fell in love. And she swings her, you know, falls on the couch. Imagine that, Mom, okay? Maybe it's happened to you. You say, okay, honey, slow down. Slow Chloe is talking to herself that. Have you question? Don't tell your dad. Let's work this out. Don't tell your dad. Okay, she just. Or you, if that teenager, how? That's a good question. How do you know you love him? How do you know you're in love? And her answer is, Mom, I just know. I just know. You wouldn't understand, Mom. I just know. What do you love about him? Everything, right? You're like, this is going nowhere. Dad's coming home soon. We got to figure this out. It's just the way he makes me feel. And let's take this further to its logical conclusion. If we can fall in love, and love is just an emotional experience, then you can fall out of love. You can fall out of love. And this happens all the time. You know, you have all your desires towards them, and you get married, and 10, 20, 30, 40 years down the road, will you start stop having that strong emotional connection? You know, it's just routine, all those things, and it's just like, oh, we must have fell out of love. And then somebody else comes into the picture. And you start having that strong emotional connection with that person. And in your mind, you're like, well, if this is what love is, I guess I fell out of love with this person. One of the main says, for God so loved. By. This is how he did it. By that, he gave it all it is. That's a big problem. Two passages that my commands. And God to keep his. It'd be a very strange thing. I feel like loving you today. What you told me. That doesn't work with your kids. No, go. Option, right? A large is action. Finish this quote for me, okay? If mommy, okay, but let's think about what that means. We're breaking down all the quotes today, okay? Think about that, what that means. If mom is angry, if she's mad, she will unleash her holy wrath on us, right? All of it. That's really what the quote is. Not to pick on moms, right? That's just what I'm interacting with. Dads, you might have lived in picking on dads now, you might have lived in a household where you're home and your mom meets, hey, sweetie, how's your day? It was good. Where's dad? I want to play t-ball with him. Oh, don't go by dad today. He had a bad day at work. Trust me, don't leave him alone. That's kind of messed up. Mom and dad are only going to love me if they feel like it. I mean, is that really love? Really? That's the best we could do? As a culture? And not to pick on other people, your own heart. Loving today, so you don't. Either somebody treated you cranky, or you haven't had your coffee yet, right? Relationship like another thing love is not just an action. It is not just something you do. It's more than that. A husband buys flowers for his wife. She loves flowers. And he goes and buys flowers for her one day. That's the situation. Let's say two husbands, husband A and husband B, they both do the same action. My wife loves flowers. One day they go home and buys flowers for their wives. Are those two husbands loving their wives? Mr. Kalick, husband A, let's give you some more context. Husband A sees his wife all week and she's struggling. She had a bad week. So he goes, out of the love of his heart, buys her flowers. She loves flowers. Hey, baby, like, I'm so sorry. Here's some flowers. I know you had a rough week. Hopefully this will cheer you up. That's a loving act, absolutely. Husband B, on the other hand, okay, so his wife last week told him to do something, and he forgot. And in his mind, he's like, oh, my wife is going to be mad with 14 A's, right? She's going to be mad. How can I fix this better? I know she's going to find out on Tuesday I did it back. So on Sunday, it's going to look like an act of love. It's just going to be amazing. I'm going to, oh, you're so sweet. And by the time she figures out on Tuesday what I did wrong, now there's some cushion to my fall, right? This, you know, how could you forget this? I told you, do this, and you told me 5 times I'm not going to forget. That's what you said, right? And he's like, I know, but look at the flowers, right? They're so beautiful. Is that done out of love? It's kind of a trick question, because is that done out of love? Yes, it's done out of love for himself. Out of love for the other person, absolutely not. Same exact action. One out of love, and one is. You could make a, one's not out of love, and one isn't. God. God is. God has loved you, and you go to church because you want to pour all your praises to him. Or you could go to church every single week because you care a lot about what other people think. You could go to church every single week because you did, you know, I'm going to tip the scale a little bit. You could go to church every week to, I don't want the pastor calling me. You could have all those reasons. And it's not done out of love. Same exact action. Love is not just an action. And verse 30 in our text says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God does not want us to be hypocrites. If you haven't had a chance to go to one of the adult Sunday school classes, they're going through Malachi, and one of the main themes of Malachi is God wants our worship, our true worship. He just doesn't want sacrifices. He doesn't just want us to do things that's not part of love. In the book, it says, you know, that God doesn't accept their sacrifices because they weren't doing it for the right reasons. They weren't doing it out of love for God. That's what it says in the book of Isaiah. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Love is not just an action, and maybe you gravitate towards that. God, I loved you so much this week. Look at all the good things I've done, but it's really all about you. Going back to our text, the scribe responded to him after he gave his answer about the most important commandment. So he says, what's the most important? Jesus said, love God with all your heart, love your neighbor as yourself. And so he responds in verse 32, back in the text, Mark 12. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. So in a surprising turn of events, this teacher of the law who came to test Jesus is agreeing with what he just said. You're right. That's the point. I agree with you. And he even says in there, it's more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. To go back to our point, these people in the Old Testament can do what God commands, offer sacrifices and burnt offerings, but they could do it for love of themselves and not love of God and love of neighbor. So in order to do these things, what is more important is to love, because you can only do those things if you love. And Jesus agrees with what this guy said, verse 34. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. From then on, no one dared to ask him any more questions. So this guy understood rightly that love is more than an action. Come from your whole heart and mind and soul and strength. Sacrifices are only important if they are done out of love, not obligation. And this guy, he knows the right answers. He says, you answer wisely. But then Jesus says, you are not far from the kingdom of God. You're answering it right, bought in. You're not loving God with all your heart, soul, the loving neighbor at yourself, because I'm the Savior and you're not accepting me. So this guy was so close. We don't know what he did, but Jesus says you're not far from the kingdom of God, implying humans have to believe. An emotion. We have another expression in our culture that says love is love. And what people usually mean by the statement is getting mad at my. I know even if everybody else disapproves, if nobody else loves them, how can you say for me not to love them? Let's go back to, in our minds, to that situation with the mother and the daughter, and she's a teenager, and she comes home and says, I just talked to her, but it's okay, you know, we're in love. Love is love. And really what, you know, that statement works if love is a subjective, emotional experience. Because nobody else can tell you otherwise. This is what I feel. But the Bible says that's not, love has to have a standard. God, who he is and what he's done for us. This is the only way we can love. The only way. Love is not only what God does, it's who he is. Look at what God's done for us. The greatest act of love, which is Jesus going to the cross. We're going to look at this because it's amazing. What true love is. We've really been talking about what love is not. Because it's very rocky road to have it based on actions or emotions or all those things. Scripture that God's love is an unconditional. Let's see the greatest acts of love think of in our day, okay? These kids. He goes in, he rescues a few, and he dies a few days later of smoke damage. A wife forgives a husband. A dad and his son are going on a hiking trip. Dad knows about snakes and all these things, like he knows these things, and they're by a poisonous snake, and he knows his son has about 3 minutes to live. He knows right away. So without even thinking about it, He takes his son and he sucks the venom out. He's trying to spit it out, but he sucks the venom out. Okay. The point of all this is these are some of the. It's unconditional. It's not based on what the other person has done to them. It's love. And in all these acts of love, if we compare some of the greatest we can think of, maybe you have your own list, with what Jesus did for us on the cross, it's not even a comparison. Here's what Romans 5, verses 6 through 8 says. Starting at verse 6. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. This passage tells us that a demonstration, one of the greatest acts of love, the greatest act of love ever, is Jesus going to the cross for our sins. And let's unpack that, because we really want to understand how marvelous this love is that God has lavished on us. Let's go, in our minds, let's go back to Adam and Eve, the beginning. By the way, Adam and Eve had it made, right? I mean, Adam and Eve had it made. Adam didn't have to look for his wife. I mean, it was just, there you go, right? No dating websites, no, is she the, like, and she's perfect for you. She even has one of your ribs. That's amazing. I mean, and going back to Adam and Eve, the Garden of Eden, I mean, there is the perfect marriage. There's no death. I mean, they don't need any bear spray, right? I don't even know what bear spray does, but they don't need to kill them. This is a true story that when we first moved in, we met our neighbor for the first time, and of course, he's never done this before, but one of our dogs peed on his leg. talking about shame, it's just like, I am so sorry. Ashley, we have to move. This is bad. Like, I just in your mind, that's not how it went. I never imagined it that way. Adam and Eve never experienced shame. No guilt. I mean, just how great they had it. They had direct fellowship with God. And all they had to do was not do that one thing. Just don't do that. Everything else is beautiful and good, and you have a perfect marriage. It's going to be amazing. I mean, they had it made. But instead of submitting to God, they made their own way. And of course, you know the story. They sinned. And it wasn't an oops, right? It wasn't a try again later. Like, this had met, like, significant consequences. Right away, they realized their own shame. They started feeling shame and guilt, and there was arguments. And they hid from God. And you read Genesis 4, I mean, one of their kids murders their other kid. I mean, this is bad. And not only that, they have the guilt of sinning against a holy and just God that they have to pay for. And the sentence for that is an eternity in hell. And you might say, well, you know, maybe somebody can pay that for them. Maybe there's another way. Well, the problem is every single kid they had also had sin, so they had to pay their own consequence. So it's not like somebody could, you know, pay for that sentence. They had to pay for their own. And even if there was a perfect person, an innocent person, who would take that place? Would you go to a murderer that you didn't know, like, and they're guilty and a life sentence and a death penalty? Would you go places for them? No. But God, in his great love for us, he said, this is the only way. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to send my son, Jesus Christ, who is God, to take on flesh, the perfect sacrifice. Okay? Because this text says, you know, will someone die for a righteous person? We can imagine a situation where you've had a family member or something like that that had a guilty sentence, and you say, hey, is there a way for me to pay that instead of you? We can imagine that. They reject you. They say, I don't want that. I mean, that's what they did to Christ. And they hated him. And they hated him so much after 3 years, after not being able to trap them or turn people against them or none of that. They sent him to a cross. They put him on a stage with a known criminal, Barabbas, and the people shouted, crucify him. I mean, how much hatred perfect sacrifice came to pay for you, and you put soldier who had they would spit on him and put a crown of thorns on his head and put nails in his hands and his the people he came to save hated him. And here's the while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, I can see in the Garden of Gethsemane, and Peter pulls out the sword. He says, okay, you're not dying. At any time, I can call down thousands and thousands of angels and stop this. I mean, he's in the garden sweating blood because he knows the cup of God's holy wrath that was supposed to pour on us. He's going to experience that. It's not just the thing of being God's wrath on him. And out of love, he's hanging from a cross and he says, God, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's love. Think about how cheap our love is. If I look at my own or hypocrisy or going through the actions or based on what the other person has done for me, I mean, just think about this passage, how when we think about God's unconditional sacrificial love, how much we fail at this every single day. Strength and love your neighbor as yourself. This morning, you know, it's only like, you know, I don't want to be at church. I'd rather be at Burger King or whatever. Oh, that person's at church. I don't want to talk to that person. Before you had your coffee, I mean, what did you say or think or feel this morning? And it's not even compared to God's holy love, we fall way short. Our love is so cheap. And that is the beauty. That's why we were sinners. I mean, God knew every single time we would look at that computer screen of look at, right? God knew every single time that bitterness or anger or hatred. And while you still sinners, he didn't wait for us to clean it up because we had no other way. He sent his son to die for you. And we paid him back by nailing him on the cross. Make us run to the cross. To and our self-righteousness on the. I look. Grade myself. I pass. People who maybe love or maybe not love. God's holy love. In Luke 6, one of the hardest tells us to do, love those who mistreat you. He says, okay, you guys love those who love you? Good job. Sinners do that, right? Who loves those who love them back? Let's be honest. You have two neighbors on either side, and I keep saying you, but I'm guilty, okay? We're talking about all of us. I'm in the sinner camp. You have two neighbors on each side. One neighbor you like and the other one you don't. One neighbor, he keeps his grass like this tall, right? And there's like 50 squirrels in there and they're always hissing. It's a bad situation. You and your kids. Neighbor, you know, he has kids that go and push your kids down and don't say anything. That neighbor treats you terribly. This neighbor, your best. Here's the thing. God loves us even though we hated him. And he calls us to do the same thing. Love your enemies. If you out, can I bring you a meal? Would you love them even though they buy? You know what I'm talking about? Like low-fat. Just always making comments. You know what I'm talking about. How do you treat that person? Our love is so. This makes us run to. It's God is a. Grows my love. All these things. And spend time with God to love my enemies. Because that's what he did to me. Still sinners, while we were enemies, while we were shaking our fists at me. And the only way we can love God is from a relationship with John, verse 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. If you get one thing out of the sermon today, like, okay, now I'm back. One big picture, but you need to. That's not love. This is love. So go to God. Drink in the scriptures, meditate on his goodness, all these things to see God. And I get this strength from God to go out and love God back and love my neighbor. This is how I do this. Because I want to love God and people more. I want to do it with his love, not my emotional objective, action-based, whatever. Break down the sermon. I want to love people with God's love. God, help me. And if you've never gone to God for forgiveness, time, and you're like, love God, I've been doing the things you've been saying, go to him. Maybe for the first time and say, God, forgive me. Thank you for dying on the cross for me and showing me true love. Change me. You're so good. There's many other people. One of them, just if this applies to you, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, there was a tornado that swept past last week that affected, you know, over 200,000 people. To go help clean up things in like 2 weeks. Okay, it's very short notice, but we're trying to do like a natural disaster poker night on Tuesdays. I can't reschedule. Okay, like this is love. It's sacrificial. I don't know these people. I just want to go and help them. It's going to cost me a week or people way part behind God people. Goodness. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we love you. God, we love you because you first loved us. God, we're thankful. God, we're ever appreciative. God, we just want to be in your love. God, we thank you for showing us how good you are, that while we hated you, God, you loved us. God, we pray that you would help us love you more with all of our heart, everything inside of us, all of our mind, all of our strength, our strength, other people. God, when people mistreat us, when our spouses, God, you call us to love our wives as Christ died for us. That if there's any conviction by your Spirit, God, we would not beat ourselves up, but we'd come to the cross to find grace and mercy and forgiveness because you're so good. God, we pray these things in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
So dark was that dreadful